Lord, I thank you for this day, this morning, this moment, Lord, that you are with us today. And we thank you for your goodness, that you surround us, Lord, with your glory. Hallelujah. And we pray that our hearts will be changed. Lord, we all need your touch today. I need your touch. We're all a work in progress. So, Lord, we want to be changed. And we want to be open to receive, to learn, to grow. Lord, none of us here have it all and know it all. We're only scratching the surface. But God, we want to know you better. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be the teacher today, to instruct us in the way we should go. And Lord, I pray that you just use me as a vessel. Yes, just a clay vessel, a flawed vessel, but a vessel nonetheless. And God has chosen to use clay vessels. Amen, for his purposes. Amen. So don't ever wait till you're perfect, because you'll never get there in yourself. Amen. God qualifies you for his presence. Amen. It's the blood of Christ that covers us and qualifies us for his presence and for his service. Amen. And if you love Jesus, you obey him. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord was speaking to the church when he said, "Behold, Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock." He was speaking to his people. I know we say, well, it's people that don't know. No, he's talking to the people that supposedly know Jesus. Amen. He says, if you hear my voice, let me in. Give me access. How many know Jesus is the best thing for us? Amen. That can happen to us. And he wants to have access to all of us. He wants to completely fill our lives, so that we're not just half full, but we're overflowing for him. And there's no darkness. Amen. Our lives are completely filled with the light of the glory of God. And he calls us to trust, a place of confidence that God is not going to harm you. He's not going to do. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit, amen, he's a good father. He gives you the Holy Spirit. You don't get a demon. Amen. Some people are so afraid of strange fire, there's no fire. Amen. Well, if you trust the Lord and you're calling on the name of Jesus Christ, amen, you know there's safety, amen, and there's salvation and none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my dependence upon you, Holy Father. I know that, Lord, we can't do anything without you, Lord. You said it. And so we rely upon your grace, Lord. We look to you for help, Lord, and this is our time of need. We need you, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit, to unveil our eyes, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. We want to hear from you today. So, Lord, I pray that you'd grant me utterance to speak this morning, and that our hearts will be changed. Your word will accomplish what you set it forth to do. So, Lord, I pray that we will hear from you this morning, that you will set me, Lord, behind the cross, and that you will be seen, you will be heard, Lord, through the word, the message that is brought this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Asking also, Father, for confirmation, for you will confirm your word with accompanying signs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, y'all, thank you. Title of the message today: God still heals today.
Yeah.
So what is healing? What is healing? Healing is the power of God that destroys the work of sin and Satan. Amen. Jesus won a great victory for us at the cross. Amen. When he said, "It is finished," he paid in full for our salvation. Amen. For our forgiveness, for our healing, for our deliverance. And he's made it available to us today by faith in his name. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Now, if we just stop right there and look at that, we're thinking, man, we're all of the devil. Well, naturally speaking, that is true. We have been corrupted through the influence, all right, of the initial sin. Sin has come upon all of us as a result of the choices that our forefather and mother had made, amen, Adam and Eve in the garden. And so in the sense we became enemies of God because of the transgression, because God is holy Amen. We cannot come into His presence. So Jesus came and provided a means, a way for us to be made right with God, so we can with confidence now return to Him, come to Him with our requests and our needs, with our praise, with our gratitude. It was because of what He did. So this is the reason, this is the purpose the Son of God was manifested, is what? That He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, all sickness is a result of sin in the world, all right? So if sin had never entered, there would be no sickness. Now, one of the Hebrew names for God is Jehovah Rapha, right? And that's the Lord who heals. And healing is not just something that God does. So God, healing is actually one of God's names, all right? And therefore, it is part of His very nature. He is our healer. Amen. He is our healing. So it's about encountering Him, touching the hem of His garment, if you will. Connecting with Jesus is connecting with life. Being united with Him through the new birth is entering into His life. Amen. And in Him is all the fullness. And all that we have need of is made available to us freely through the grace available to us in Christ. So it's by grace we are saved through faith, right? And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's by the grace of God I am who I am today. So we can't take credit. We cannot boast. We can only say, thank You, Lord, for the work You've been doing in my life and the work You have done in my life and the promise that You're going to bring me completely, amen, into Your presence completely whole. God is able to make all grace abound to us. God wants us to rely upon His grace. He's trying to teach us that in ourselves we do not have what it takes to overcome the world. In ourselves, we do not have what it takes to overcome the flesh, the sin nature, right? Or the devil. But it's all in Christ. He is our hope of glory. So we serve a healing God who has declared that He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And though we live in these temporary bodies, these earth suits that are wearing out, amen, they are, how many can I say amen to that? I can tell every day, right? Is a new pain or a new something going on. But God's promised to give us a brand new body, amen, someday, to those who are of His, amen, who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who have been brought into right fellowship through the new birth in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been given a promise that we're going to get a brand new body. But while we're on this earth, amen, we need God's help. How many know what I'm talking about? How many here have received the healing from the Lord already? Amen, right? And maybe you don't even realize it, but yes, you can see, you can raise your hand too and say, yeah, I know I have. How many know God is good to all? Sometimes, I did say sometimes, sickness is a direct result of sin in a person's life. Okay? We know that because we see this in 1 Corinthians 11:30, that there were certain Corinthians who were sick, and some even unto death, because they had participated in the Lord's Supper, communion, without judging sin in their own lives. And that is, without confessing and forsaking it. You've heard it said before, but even unforgiveness. And Paul, I'm not going to try to steal your message for Saturday, but unforgiveness, you know, to the soul is like cancer is to the body. It eats you up. And it's caustic. It can actually cause physical sickness. Refusing to forgive others is not understanding the mercy of Christ, the forgiveness of the Lord. And so we are commanded to forgive. Forgiveness means canceling the debt, releasing a person so they no longer owe you. How many have said, oh, you owe me now for what you did? Well, guess what? Most of the time that person's going on their merry way. Amen. And you're all hung up and bound up because of an offense that you're holding on to. And I heard it said one time that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to kill the other person. So in 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul said, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we come to the Lord and we say a judge state, meaning that I've already confessed and renounced sin. Amen. I've asked God to cleanse me from anything. Amen. I've made amends. I've forgiven people. I've let them go. Amen. I'm not holding it against them. And that's how it is with God when he forgives, you know. It's God is saying, I'm no longer holding it against you. I know what you did. Some people say, well, God forgets. No, he doesn't forget. He knows what we've done. But what he's trying to say is he will no longer hold those sins against us. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. And so that is the goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. And we have to understand that it's only by his mercy we are saved. Otherwise, we get into this comparison thing, or we get self-righteous. We become a holier-than-thou. But God had to remove the veil from my eyes to reveal to me how sinful I was before I could be saved, because I had to come to the awareness that I'm a mess and I need cleansing. Amen? I need the mercy of God. So not all sickness, as some may try to label others. Well, there must be some sin in his life because he's got sickness. Well, it could be, but that's not always the case. Amen. So we need to be careful that we are not quick to judge others. Come on. So not all sickness is a direct result of sin in a person's life. And I'll give you an example. Remember the blind man born, the guy that was born blind, right? John 9:2, and his disciples asked him to Jesus, they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because they always thought there was a cause and effect. It must have been something he did or his parents did that the man was born blind. But listen to what Jesus said in this case, verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned. See, we need to take a good look at the balance of Scripture, amen, and rightly divide it instead of just going off on one tangent or the other. You got some people that it's always God's will and it's never God's will. That's a really sad place to be right there, by the way, where it's never God's will to heal. Yeah. That God's not healing today. How many are in evidence of God heals today? Amen. And see, the devil's a thief and he doesn't want people to know what's available to them in Christ. And it's not always a matter of our faith, because Lazarus had no faith. He was dead when Jesus called Lazarus forth from the dead. How much faith did Lazarus have? Come on. It was God's sovereign, right, intervention. And he called Lazarus up from the grave. Amen. But why did this happen? He said, look it. But that the what? Works of God should be revealed in him. So sometimes things happen, all right, for the will of God. That we may say, well, that's a bad thing, but God promises to turn any bad situation into something good if we will trust him. You see, a lot of times we're going to be tested in our attitude. And do we really trust the heart of God when we don't get it with our head? Now, come on, I don't always understand the Lord's ways, do you? No, we don't. But we need to know the heart of God. And to know that God is good, God carries us, God holds us. The very next breath we have is because of his grace. Amen. So know that God's got it. Amen. Don't worry, don't fear, but seek the Lord above everything else in your life. He'll take care of the things that you need. Philippians 2:30. Here's an example of Epaphroditus. He was sick from exhaustion in the work of the Lord. He says, because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply that what was lacking in your service towards me. You know, Jesus took time out. Jesus got away to rest. Sometimes we can overwork ourselves and make ourselves sick. It's not because of sin. It's just because of neglect. That's why God gave man a Sabbath, amen, for a time to rest from his labors. It's actually made for man. It's a benefit for us, amen? Now, Satan can certainly cause sickness. Sickness can be a result of satanic activity. We understand that. And Job chapter 2 and verse 7, right? What happened? Job's body was covered with boils. And again, Job had no idea what was going on behind the scenes when God was having this dialogue with Lucifer. Right? He was there, right? And all of a sudden now Job's finding out he's losing everything. He's losing his health. He doesn't know what's going on. But God turned his captivity. And in the end, Job was much better off than he was in the beginning. But sometimes when we're in the midst of difficulties and trials, you know, it's hard sometimes to see past it. Anybody ever been there before? How many have ever been in this time in your life where you thought, man, this is just impossible. How am I ever going to survive this or get through this? And now years later, you're looking back and say, hey, look what the Lord has done. So when you're going through it, if you're going through it right now, know God is with you. His grace is sufficient for you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. And God's going to work out his plan in your life one way or another. Sometimes the Lord has to get our attention, doesn't he? Somebody say amen. How about this crippled woman in Luke chapter 13 and verse 10? Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. There's the religious folks. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them. And not on the Sabbath day? The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? He knew the hearts of everybody. How many know that Jesus exposed everything? How many of you just might as well say, Lord, you're right. No more secrets. You already know. Just get it right. Amen. Just confess. Renounce and get right with Jesus. Amen. Because he's the one to whom we're going to answer. Today you have an opportunity to get it right. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, listen, whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years, he be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all, how many know the word of God will always win out? And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So we know it's clear from Scripture that God uses different means in healing. I know there are some who, because of conscience or whatever, they refuse to ever see a doctor. Okay, and then there are those that never go to the Lord. They always go to the doctor. Amen. And I think that we need to get wisdom from God and instruction from the Lord as to what we should do with our health. Come on. We're responsible to take care of our bodies. Amen. You can't live your life at McDonald's every day. Amen. And expect to stay healthy. Scratch that. I'll have a lawsuit coming after me. Sometimes the Lord heals through natural bodily processes. God designed us that way, all right? God has also placed within our human body the powers of recuperation. Our body knows how to heal itself. If you injure yourself, the blood goes to that spot, isn't it? It's called a bruise. The blood is supplying what healing to the brokenness. Just like the blood of Christ, amen, is applied to bring healing to us, to our brokenness. Sometimes God heals through medicines. Oh, does he? Well, how many know that when Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, use a little wine. He didn't say a lot. Use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. What does that mean? He's given him a natural solution to an infirmity he had in his body. Again, God gives us wisdom sometimes how to take care of ourselves and how to treat ourselves. But yes, of course, God does heal miraculously. And it may be that sometimes we're not contending for our healing and we're too quick to go to the doctor. Just saying. There are other examples in Scripture where God did not physically heal people. Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletus in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus, what? Sick. And I say, we're just trying to bring a little balance to this and maybe a broader perspective. All right. Now, this is in no way to be taken as an excuse to justify our own unbelief. Come on. Sometimes the will of God is something you need to contend for. It's not always an instant thing. I can call Sister Laura up here and she'll tell you if she contended for her healing for, what, 20 years? And one day God healed her of her epilepsy. Because she continued to believe God. And sometimes it's instantaneous. That's called a miracle. We love to see the miracles of God. Amen. Other times it may be, you know, on the way home. Well, let's take a look at some of the other examples here. But in the Old Testament, this is prior to the cross, of course, God gave Israel a conditional promise at Marah. In Exodus 15:26, he says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. What did he say? He says, I will put none of the diseases on you. Who's speaking here? The Lord. Which I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals. Jehovah, that's Rapha. The Lord who heals. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ walked on the earth, the Lord desires that you and I would follow in his footsteps. So this is what we want to do, is we want to model our life after the Lord Jesus. How many want to be like Jesus when you grow up? I want to be like him. Amen. So I look at him. I study him. I pray and I say, Lord, show me more. Reveal yourself to me. I want to know you. I want to walk in your ways. And you know, the Lord will reveal himself to those who have a hungry heart, who want to know. It's important that we desire to know him. To know him is to love him. To know him is to know life. In John 20 and verse 21, Jesus told his disciples, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. What was he doing? He was training his disciples, wasn't he? Disciple can also be called a learner, right? A student. They were being taught by the Master. Amen? And how to walk in the ways of the Lord. And then as Jesus was getting ready to leave, amen, to depart from them, he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So go and do the things that I did. Follow my example. Is that what he said in Matthew 28? Teaching them to observe all things I have taught you. That would be you and I today. In Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all here who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Guys, I haven't arrived at that yet. Have you? Does God want us to grow up and be like him? Yes, we want to be like him. That's what he meant when he said, be yoked together with me. Take my yoke upon you. Amen. Because he was the ox, the strong ox. Amen. And we're the weak one. And so they would put a weaker ox with a stronger ox. And as they walk and do work together. Amen. The weaker one becomes stronger and becomes like the other ox. Come on. And the Lord is saying, as you walk with me, as you continue and to abide in me, you become more and more like me. Amen. And he will become the strength of our life. God's healing is available today and extends to all our diseases and all infirmities. God is limitless. There is nothing that he cannot do. So when we come to him, we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Amen. But the psalmist declared in Psalms 103:2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Well, what are his benefits? Look at verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. What's the greatest benefit of all? Having our sins forgiven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. But the psalmist also reminds us that he heals all our diseases. Now, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that Jesus died for both our sins and our sicknesses. It's in the atonement. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes or wounds, we are healed. Healed also means cured. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Through the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for us on the cross, not only to forgive our sins, but for our healing. For our reconciliation to be brought back into right fellowship with Father God. Here's another example, the centurion servant. Matthew 8:5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He understood what authority was. And he understood that Jesus was the authority, the ultimate authority. Amen. In Matthew 8:10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. What was he talking about? This man understood authority. He knew Jesus was the authority. He was the king of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven among you. And he came, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's among you. Why? Because the king was on the scene. And this man recognized the authority that Jesus held. He says, Lord, you don't even have to come under my roof. All you got to do is say the word. And Jesus marveled, he said, that's exactly the point I want to get across here, is that when you and I come into Christ and we become sons and daughters through the new birth, amen, he gives us this thing called exousia, authority, amen, in him, amen, that we can enforce the work that Jesus already accomplished for us on the earth. We're enforcers of his victory. We don't win the victory, he won the victory. We live from victory. Do you get it? We live from victory. We're not climbing up Jacob's ladder. Amen. We come to the Lord. He's already overcome. Amen. The world. And now he has been given the name which is above every name, the highest place. Amen. All authority, he said, has been given unto me. Exousia. In what? Heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Go in my name. Represent me. Preach the gospel. Amen. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he said again, teach them that come after you to observe all, it's a big word, things I have taught you. So how many can say this morning, you know, there's room for a little growth in my life? Amen. I got both hands up. Okay. All right. But that's what we want to be like. And he wants us to be Christ-like, not in his place, but like him. He's making us beautiful, you see. We're his bride. In verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have, what? Believed. Let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now we understand, and last week we were talking more about faith of the heart. Amen. Opens the door to favor and receiving from the Lord. Faith simply believing that God will do what he promised he would do. And we come to him as children, amen. We don't overcomplicate it. Sometimes we think this is a great big formula. You got to figure out the formula to get God to do what you want him to do. No, God's sovereign. He's got a plan. He's got a will. We just need to walk with him in that plan and his will. Understand what he wants to do and do what he shows us to do and say what he tells us to say. And God always confirms his word. Amen. If it's his word, it won't hit the ground. It'll accomplish what he set it forth to do. So faith of the heart is required. He said in Matthew 21:21, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, remember he had cursed the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Amen. So that's how we approach the Lord when we pray for somebody. Amen. We just pray the prayer of faith. Believe that God is going to touch the person. Amen. Sometimes the enemy wants to get in our head with all this doubt and all this stuff that, well, it's probably nothing going to happen. Or don't even embarrass yourself by praying for this person because nothing's going to happen. Come on. He's trying to rob you of your confidence. He's trying to rob you of your faith. And you just take that thought captive and say, no, God told me to go and pray for the sick. I'm going to pray for sick people. Amen. I'm going to pray for the broken. And I'm going to believe that God's going to heal them. Amen. Just like a child would believe when he came to his daddy asking for a gift. Amen. That his daddy, being a good father, would give him the gift that he needs. Amen. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? You don't have to work hard for it. Amen? Just believe for it. It's not something you can achieve. It's something you receive by faith in what God has already accomplished. And what he's promised for us today. Hallelujah. If you can get a hold of this word, you can, it'll make a difference. And by the way, some people have a problem with emotions. Obviously we don't. But we don't live by our emotions, it's true. You don't trust your emotions. Your emotions can deceive you, amen? But I have discovered that when I encounter the Lord, it's an emotional experience, amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You just can't help it sometimes, right? You just have to shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm having a good time up here. I hope you are too. By the way, that was only the first point of this morning's message, so... Thank you, Lord. It's all right if our prayers are emotional for healing. Come on, serious illness can be emotionally devastating. King Hezekiah was sick near death. And the prophet Isaiah brought him the message from the Lord that this illness was going to be fatal. He says, look, get your house in order. You're going to die. And when Hezekiah learned that his illness was terminal, what did he do? He wept bitterly. As he prayed to the Lord, he didn't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Most people don't want to, right? We want to live forever. Well, guess what? Thank you, Jesus. Amen? After this body is wore out and done, amen, we have a new one that's coming. 2 Kings 20 and verse 2. Then he turned his face towards the wall, Hezekiah, and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And verse 4, and it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 5, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears." He did what? He heard his prayer and he saw his tears. "Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." So God regarded Hezekiah's prayer and his emotions. And by the way, God gave us emotions. We were made in his likeness, right? His image. And there are various gifts of healing. Jesus healed a broad range of illnesses. We know that. Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his faith went out throughout Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Who did Jesus heal? Those with various diseases, those who are suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed. By the way, deliverance and healing are often connected. If you can get the spirit off the person or out of the person, amen, the healing can follow. Those who are suffering from seizures and those who are paralyzed, the Lord's healing is available today. So not only did Jesus demonstrate his ability, but his willingness to heal every disease and sickness among the people. And the prophet Isaiah also prophesied this concerning Jesus. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." What does it say? He bore our griefs. That means malady, anxieties, calamity, sickness, or disease. All right? And our sorrows, which also means grief and pain. Emotional grief and pain as well, right? So the Lord wants to heal people. There are many broken people, amen? We're broken. We're all broken people. And we need that healing. Our soul, amen, to prosper. And to receive the healing of the Lord, amen. And even at times, God will heal our bodies, praise God. Hallelujah. I just told you the other day, I did something to my shoulder. I don't know why. When you get older, you hurt yourself and just sleeping at night, I should say. You know. And I woke up in the morning and I'm like, "Oh my word, what did I do to my shoulder?" And it's like the pain was pretty severe. And so it went on for a couple of days and I'm doing all the prayers and the rebuking and all that stuff that goes along, you know, with that. And finally, I just got in here one night. I was in prayer and I said, "Lord, I know I don't deserve it. But would you touch me? Would you just lay your hand on this shoulder?" And you know, the next morning I woke up and it was gone. Praise God. Hasn't been back since. God touched me. I know who did it. Hallelujah. See, when we come to God, don't come to him because I deserve it. No, it's we don't deserve it. But Lord, would you be merciful to me? Would you show me mercy? Because really healing is mercy. It's not necessarily an entitlement. It's a mercy from God. We live in broken bodies. We live in corruptible bodies. And because of sin, amen, and the initial sin, we're all going to eventually die in these bodies. Amen. But that's, praise God, that's not the end. Now in Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. They brought to Jesus. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Again, with the word means what? He took authority over them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." There he is. He's making reference to that. So be encouraged today. All right? Just reach out to Jesus for your healing. All right? Now, God may, and often does, he may ask you to demonstrate your faith for healing. I'll give you an example. In Matthew 12:10, behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? See, they were caught up on in the routines and the rituals that they might accuse Jesus. But then in verse 13, Jesus did something. He said to the man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just touch our brother's arm today. In Jesus' name, be healed. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes the Lord is going to test us in our faith. You look out throughout Scripture, the Lord always gave an assignment. Noah moved with godly fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his what? Family. What did he have to do? He had to build the ark. That was faith. He believed God. And so he obeyed the voice of God, the instruction of the Lord. Do you understand that faith is more than just intellectual assent? Oh, I believe that. Well, so do the demons and tremble. He's saying, believe to the degree where you will obey the instruction of the Lord. And when you obey and do what he tells you to do, go wash in the pool of Siloam 7 times and come back seeing. Well, no, I don't need to wash. Well, the Lord tells you to wash 7 times, go wash 7 times. If he just did 6 times, he probably wouldn't have gotten healed. But because he obeyed the instruction of the Lord, and again, a lot of times God's going to have something for you to do in the natural. Because the natural and the spiritual come together in the Lord. That's like you and I become supernatural in the Holy Spirit. We're still natural people, amen, but we receive the super, amen, the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within us. And we become supernatural individuals, just like Jesus, who were representing the Father's interests in the world. You see, sometimes people have misunderstood the message that Jesus was trying to relay. And they criticize people who are actually stepping out in faith. Isn't it true that people that are usually doing something for God, amen, that's visible, tangible often, amen, they get criticized the most, they get picked on the most? By who? The religious crowd. Nothing new under the sun, the religious Pharisees, you know. Oh, they're casting out demons by Beelzebub, they said. They accused Jesus of using Satan's power to cast out Satan. And Jesus warned them, he says, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. Amen. Except blasphemy what? Against the Holy Spirit. Because he attributed the works of the Lord to the devil. Be very careful. If you don't understand something, just button it up and wait on the Lord and say, Lord, he'll prove it in time. He'll confirm if it's of him or not. Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit tells you, warns you about something, pay attention. I know there's counterfeits. I know there's those who are operating, amen, if you will, in witchcraft and other means of manipulation of God's dunamis. That is not under God's authority. That's witchcraft. Amen. But God calls us to come under authority, under his authority. And when we're under his authority, we have authority, come on, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, even to raise the dead. So be encouraged to reach out to Jesus today. And when the men of that place recognized him, Matthew 14:35, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might not only, what? Touch the hem of his garment. That they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So can I suggest to you today is that our part is to reach out and touch Jesus. Reach out and touch Jesus. Whenever two or three gather together in my name, I am there in their midst. Amen. I've got that up on the wall up there. That's a reminder for me. But remember, we are here gathered in the Lord's name today. And we have to acknowledge His presence and respect the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that if He's here, then He's able to do, amen, anything. Anything. Even beyond, right, what we could ask or think. According to His mighty dunamis, power working within us. It's at work within us. So gathering, agreeing, praying and believing. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Lord is here. How? He has sent His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. To meet us and to dwell within us. And so we have that life-giving Spirit within us. Jesus said to them that believe on me, as the Scripture said, they really have faith in what I said, out of their belly or their being, right, their innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Amen. And that means there's going to be a release of God's Spirit through those who believe. All right? And people will be touched by the Spirit of the Lord through clay vessels. The excellency of the power is not of us, but of Him. We give God the glory. We give God the credit. We understand that we're just the vessel. Hello. So we don't make it about us. We want to draw attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always draws attention to Jesus. Points people to Him. Signs point to someone. Wonders. Look at the wonders of the Lord. Amen. Look what the Lord is doing.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your word. Father, we pray for the manifestation of Your Spirit and of Your power. And we pray for the confirmation of Your word, even here today.